Welcome, my darling true crime angels, to Web Sleuths Radio Podcast. My name is Tricia Griffith. I'm the proud owner of websleuths.com, the absolute best, if I do say so myself, true crime discussion forum in the universe. Today, we are recording this Friday, January 17th, and I have with me once again our dear friend and much-loved member of Web Sleuths, Lee Egan. Lee is with CrimeOnline.com. That is Nancy Grace's organization. And, of course, we all know at Web Sleuths, Lee, that we go right to you when there's any news in a case, anything breaking. Lee Egan and Crime Online and your team, you've got it covered. And welcome back to Web Sleuths Radio Podcast. Lee, I appreciate you taking the time out today.
Thank you very much, Shush. It's always great to speak with you.
Let's talk about one of the biggest cases going now on Web Sleuths, and I think in the nation, is the Peyton Houston case. And Lee, why don't you give us just a little bit of background on that, and then we're going to talk about the latest. We finally have some confirmation of a couple of things at least, but tell us about Peyton. What happened?
Okay, well, Peyton was last seen on December 20th in downtown Birmingham at the Tin Roof Bar. 9 days later, police found her buried in the backyard of a residence in Hueytown, Alabama, which is probably about 25 minutes away from the bar. Now, since then, there's been a lot of speculation as to if she was in the bar. Her friend said, or one of her friends, we're not sure who, said that she left with two heavyset black males. Now, when a sheriff said that there was no evidence of that on video, there's been a lot of speculation that it never happened. So as of today, we can confirm that Jefferson County Sheriff's Office DA, Lenise Washington, says that Peyton was definitely in the bar. Now, there's been a new suspect in the case that's been brought forward. His name is Frederick Hampton of Brighton, Alabama. And Washington confirms he, too, was in the bar. Both of them were in the bar.
And,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and when she left the bar, she sent a text, and that's very troubling, the text that she sent her friends. It's scary, it's creepy, and it sounds like something out of a movie, but it was true. What did she say?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It definitely sounds like it was right out of a scary movie. She said, "I feel I'm in trouble. If I call, pick up. Or if I call, answer. I feel I'm in trouble." Which was, you know, it's so scary, it's so creepy, that some people thought, well, wait a minute, is this made up? Did she really say this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't have confirmation, but police have not said that this was made up. They're going based on witnesses and friends' tips. So as far as we're concerned, it likely did happen. This text likely did happen.
Yes, I would think that the police would come out and say, hey, you know, everybody stop it. That isn't what happened.
Exactly.
You're spreading rumors. Knock it off. And the fact that we've all talked about Peyton being in the Tin Roof Bar and nobody came out and said that didn't happen, we are pretty sure that she was there. Now, let's talk about this Hampton fellow. The police had him in custody, right, at some point?
Absolutely.
In this case.
They had him in custody for suspicion of kidnapping. And what happened was they didn't have enough evidence at the time to hold him on the charges. And in Alabama, they need to have that evidence stick within 48 hours of his arrest. If not, they have to let him go. So, of course, they let him go. And now he's wanting for abuse of a corpse. Now, he's not wanted it at this time in connection to Peyton's death, just for abuse of a corpse. They're saying they have very strong evidence that he had something to do with her being buried in that yard. But now he's gone. He's on the run, on the loose, hiding. They can't find him.
And wasn't he a convicted sexual predator anyway? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
He was.
Yeah.
In 1991, I believe it was March 1991, him along with seven other men, well, three men approached a woman at gunpoint at a bus stop in downtown Birmingham, brought her back to a home where four of the men were waiting, and these men made her do sexual acts against her will. And she somehow escaped, got away, contacted the police, the whole trial, everything went through. And Hampton, along with his brother, Timothy Hampton, both of them were convicted in that case. Both got the same charges of rape and sodomy.
Wow. And he was out. Let me just step on myself.
He did get 20 years for that. But yes, he was released in 2012, and he was out during the time that Peyton disappeared.
Stepping on my soapbox, Lee, you don't need to comment, but come on, somebody does that to a woman, you got to know they shouldn't be out at all ever again. That's not something that you go, oh, I made a mistake, I need to improve myself. No, that's a sexual predator right there. It's in their soul. Just my soapbox theory. But okay, so let's talk about this abuse of a corpse. That just sounds so odd. And I apologize, I'm going to get a little bit graphic here. Are they suggesting that he had sex with a corpse, or what does that suggest?
Not to my knowledge. Abuse of a corpse can mean, you know, burying a body somewhere that it shouldn't be buried. If somebody dies, typically you have a funeral and you bury them, you know, have a funeral service. I'm sure Peyton didn't want to be buried in the backyard of a strange home that she's had. She has no connections to this home, by the way. The Washington, D.A. Washington said that this home belonged to a relative of Hampton's. So it was not anyone. It wasn't the co-worker's grandparents' house. That was a rumor going around. This home belonged to the Hampton family. And, you know, I'm sure Peyton didn't want to be buried back there. She didn't ask to be buried back there. So I think that's what they're saying, is that they're saying that they have strong evidence to believe that Hampton had a part in burying her in that yard against, of course, you know.
Right, but they didn't have it when they picked him up the first time, which is so frustrating.
I don't think they even had Peyton when they picked him up the first time.
They didn't.
Right, this was like late December, and it was after they found her. He had already been let out.
Right. And so you can't really, you know, people want to lash out. Well, don't lash out against the police. They can only do so much. Their hands are tied here. So Peyton Houston is in the Tin Roof Bar. We don't know anything other than there are witnesses saying that she got into a car or a cab with the two heavyset black males.
Correct. That's something that really hasn't been discussed yet. There was speculation that the car was left at her coworker's house. There's speculation she walked away. We just don't know how or where this happened. We just know that police do have evidence that shows they were together, and they did not see any kind of forcing. They didn't see the man forcing her to go with him. It appeared as if she left with him willingly.
And then realized, probably, again, this is just, I'm just thinking perhaps this may have happened, realized as when she was in the car that, oh, this is not good. This is not good at all. Oh, and you think of that, Lee, and your stomach, my stomach just does flips. That poor woman, you know, she's in there with these, at least we know of one sexual predator who had no problem abusing another woman. So it's a very, very scary world out there. But, you know, a woman should be allowed to go to a bar and meet a guy and go somewhere without being murdered, for God's sakes. Again, my soapbox, not yours, mine. I don't want anybody claiming that my thoughts are yours, because, oh my God, that'd be frightening. You just absolutely have to disown me.
I agree, though. I agree with you. There's nothing to say that they didn't know each other, but there's nothing to say they did know each other.
Right.
But either way, you know, she should be able to go to a bar, absolutely, or anywhere she wants, and have a good time without worrying about being killed or overdosed or whatever happened.
We're
not sure what happened.
Right. Okay, let's move on. We're talking with Lee Agin from Crime Online, and we're going to move on now to one of the most bizarre cases we've seen in a long time on Web Sleuths, and that's Heidi Brossard. And Heidi was pregnant along with her, she thought, one of her best friends, Megan Formuska, and if I hope I pronounce that right, and Heidi had a baby. And Megan didn't. And all of a sudden, Heidi goes missing, and Megan ends up with a baby. Well, it turns out that that Megan apparently, and now she has not been charged yet, but this is what everybody assumes, Megan had something to do with her murder, stole her baby, and tried to pass it off as her own. Now, that is just the very bare bones of this case. There's a lot more to it. But there are a few rumors going around. The dad of Heidi's baby, Shane, thinks that there might have been another person involved. And there are a few things that kind of indicate it wasn't just Megan alone. Am I right or am I wrong, Lee? What do you think?
In my opinion, you're right. And Shane Carey, he did say that Heidi was stronger than Megan, and that there was just no way he could see how she acted alone. Now, we still can't confirm this. We've been trying over and over. There's been kind of a phone miscommunication going on, but we cannot confirm whether they have another suspect in mind or if they detained anyone. But Shane's not alone. I mean, many people are wondering how Megan, when she's not really a big woman, in size, like I think she's like 5'4", 5'3", if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Heidi's taller, Heidi's strong. And, you know, so I understand why people would think that there's someone else involved. We just can't confirm it yet. I wish we could, but we can't.
Well, and that's just it. Now, I'm going to put out a theory here, and it's based on some fact and some just suggestion. But the main theory, from what I understand, is that Megan somehow got Heidi to come out to her car and bring her baby Margo with her. And then at some point, Heidi ends up in the trunk of the car. Megan ends up with her baby in her home. One of the theories is, that Megan had somebody else with her, and that person killed Heidi, and then Megan killed that person. That's a theory. Again, don't have nothing to base it on, but it might make sense. Again, we don't know what the police have. We haven't been able to find a second person yet. I don't believe her. Her boyfriend, Megan's boyfriend, he is not considered a suspect or a person of interest in this case. Is that correct?
That's correct. He's been completely cleared.
Right. So he didn't have anything to do with it. But there just had to be somebody else with her. Who is it? And where is that person? Those are the big mysteries. But think about it, everybody. I want you to think about this. Megan pretended to be pregnant right along with Heidi. They even had the same due date. The whole time, she's making her stomach look bigger and bigger and bigger. And for some, she had been planning this. She must have been planning this for 9 months. And then somehow, in her mind, Megan thought she could kill Heidi and pass off Margo as her own. It's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
And you know, Tricia, the theory you had, if in this case, nothing to me is far-fetched. I mean, anything is possible. Most people wouldn't have thought it would have been her best friend. Excuse me. Shane, the fiance, it's the fiance, husband, boyfriend. They're always the first person that's looked at. And, you know, his behavior was a bit unusual at first. And then a friend of Heidi's says that it wasn't like him, that this happened before, and he was at her house right away. Why did he take so long to call the police this time? You know, so it's just an unusual case what happened. And there's nothing at this point that I would consider too far-fetched. There could have been another person. I mean, that's an absolute possibility.
I agree. And let's not forget, everybody, we all thought Shane, the boyfriend fiance, was guilty because he did everything that we think a guilty person would do while being interviewed. Looked down, felt uncomfortable, didn't get very emotional. Everybody, I'm not saying you, Lee, but a lot of people on Web Sleuths, me included, in my mind, I thought, oh, yeah, he's got to be guilty. And that's a great lesson for everybody. Do not jump to conclusions and start ruining a person's life because your words have power. And when you post that you think somebody is guilty of doing something this horrible, those words stay up there forever. And this poor Shane, he knew he looked guilty. I mean, he understands that, you know, everybody thought that, but he was the one that never was guilty, and he just wanted his love of his life back. And I don't know if you follow him on Facebook or not, Lee, but he posts the most beautiful pictures of his baby and the kids, and just heartbreaking.
Absolutely gorgeous. That baby is so gorgeous. And I just wanted to add in that is baby Margo. There were rumors that possibly the DNA didn't come back. It has been confirmed. That is his baby. And, yeah, she's back with him, and she's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful baby.
Yeah, again, stop with those ugly rumors, okay? That is his baby. Again, people, Facebook, I love Facebook and I hate Facebook because they don't have any rules about what people can say about others. So you have
That's why Web Sleuth is so awesome.
Thank you.
Web Sleuth, you know, you have those rules where don't what is that term you guys use? Don't go real life with people that have not been named a suspect.
Yeah, we can't. If somebody hasn't been named, you can't discuss them as a suspect. You just can't throw out innocent names like that. You can't go, hey, Margot doesn't look like Shane. It's not his baby. No, you don't.
Right.
We can't. We don't do that, okay? Because words have power, and I can't tell you what it is like to be accused of something that you're totally innocent of, and it's all over the internet. I've had it done to me. I even had a whole forum dedicated to my supposed quote-unquote crimes. It was all false. It was all fake. But it was horrible. And mine wasn't even a murder. This poor guy, everybody thought he committed the murder. But looks like he's doing his best to keep in good spirits and to share with the world, with everybody, his lovely family. So I do appreciate that. Didn't Nancy interview Shane recently?
No, we did not.
Oh, you didn't?
I spoke to Shane briefly. This was before Heidi was found. He was surrounded by so many people at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice guy. You know, he said, I'll call you back if I can. But he was worried at that time. He was just too busy, and we didn't connect again. I'm hoping to, but we have not so far.
Well, we'll definitely be waiting for that because, again, crimeonline.com is the place to go for the latest facts of the crime. And that's what I love about you, Lee, and everybody with Nancy Grace's organization. It's very clear when you write something, what is a fact and what is being said and what is being floated out there. We know there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And so that's why we consider you one of our main sources, if not our top source, when it comes to true crime. So every time, Lee, I text with you, you are crazy busy because there is always something breaking. Now, this is Friday, January 17th. What is the latest thing that you are working on with Crime Online?
Oh, my goodness. This has been a busy week. Anthony Tutte. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. So with this case, we have a man, a physical therapist from Connecticut, moves his family to Celebration, Florida, which is a beautiful master planned area by Disney World. People go there, you know, to... It's like a family-oriented neighborhood. They go there to have a peaceful, you know, setting.
Mm-hmm.
This man ends up allegedly, well, he did admit to it, but I'm going to say allegedly, just in case. He allegedly killed his wife, Megan, his three children, and the family dog, lived with their bodies inside the home for at least a week without electricity. Now, he's behind bars now. The motive seems to be he was way over his head in debt,
mm-hmm.
and insurance fraud, Medicare fraud, Blue Cross Blue Shield fraud, et cetera. So, yeah, that's the big one we're working on today. The information is pouring in so fast, I can't keep up with it. But
and that is
that's a win.
So tragic. It's like, dude, kill yourself. You know, don't
right.
kill your family. They had nothing to do with it. Kill yourself. Say, I'm sorry, I did all these horrible things. Don't kill your family and your dog, my God. When you hear things like that, I know when I hear it, it's just like, what is the world coming to? And everybody's been saying that for millions of years, but really, really, you kill your, what is that going to do to help? Now you say information is coming in kind of fast and furious. Is there any little tidbit you can share with us that's happening that maybe we don't know yet?
The last thing that happened was he made his court appearance. They put him in a metal cage. Kind of reminded me of Hannibal Lecter a little bit, but they put him in a metal cage separated from the rest of the inmates for security. He walked up there. His demeanor seemed like he was just bored, really, like nothing fazed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the latest we have. And, well, I do have this. There was a reporter, I believe, from Spectrum News or one of the local news media stations that said they were there when police handcuffed this man and were taken into the car. They could smell a strong odor coming from him. I took that to mean a death odor because he's sitting in this house with his deceased family members, no electricity, no hot water for at least a week. Just disturbing on all levels. I cannot comprehend it.
Oh, and again, not to be too graphic, but we all know what happens when a body starts to decompose, and it is an odor you will never forget, and it does cling to you. You know, you hear about people having to throw away their clothes that have just discovered a body because the odor is so bad, and that is horrible. Obviously a very disturbed man, and I think in the days, weeks, and months to come, we're going to hear a lot more about what was going on with him and his downward spiral, because obviously he wasn't always like this. He was able to have a career and a family and come across as somewhat normal, but boy, something really, really cracked in him, and that's what makes
it
so tragic.
And not many people, I've not seen anyone that has a bad word to say about this guy. Mm-hmm. Like patients at his physical therapy practice, he owned a family physical therapy in Connecticut. They all said he was a great guy. They didn't see anything unusual. It didn't start to get unusual until he just kind of dropped off and stopped going to work.
Mm-hmm.
He put a sign up at the door that said, "We'll be back New Year's," but he never came back. And then, you know, people are finding out now that for months, federal agents have been investigating him for insurance fraud. He's allegedly been billing insurance company for services he didn't provide, for appointments that were never made, and it's gotten up to close to $100,000. So it's pretty big. My theory is his family didn't know, and he may be too ashamed to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
So he just took them out. That's all I can.
Yeah, family annihilator. Isn't that what they're called, a family annihilator?
Yeah,
you're right.
Exactly. Chris Watts, another Chris Watts.
There you go.
I would not be surprised if there's a girlfriend somewhere on the side somewhere. It hasn't been said. That's just my opinion. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, no, there you wouldn't surprise me either. Nothing, I think, could surprise either of us, Lee. But
at this point, right.
Yeah, and I think Chris Watts, we could do a whole show on that sometime, and perhaps we'll get something together because there are still people out there saying that, oh, Chris didn't act alone when he killed his wife, Shanann, and the two girls. Yeah, he did. Okay, everybody just chill. But, and he's given interview. I can't even talk about that case. It makes me so upset. But anyway, Lee, again, I know you're very busy. I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time out to update us today, Friday, January 17th. We'll talk again real soon. And give Nancy my best and everybody there our best, and love to you, and be safe, okay?
Thank you, Trisha. And I just want to add in real quick, I said it before and I will keep saying it, we love you and we love Web Sleuth.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are awesome. Your members are awesome.
Thank you so much.
I found out information from these guys, your guys.
They're the best.
Guys before I do for police. They're the best.
They love
you guys.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Trisha.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, that is it, my darlings. I know it's a very, very quick Web Sleuth Radio podcast, but we got all the facts in. I didn't babble too much, I hope, because we always want to hear from Lee a lot more than we want to hear from me. Okay, Web Sleuth Radio podcast. Don't forget websleuth.com. It's free to join. Join in. You can make a difference just by posting your opinions, okay? Take care, everybody. Be safe. Bye-bye now. Until we meet again, my darling true crime angels, Trisha Griffith saying so long. It's Web Sleuth Radio podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye now. Don't forget, patreon.com if you want to support Web Sleuth, $5 a month. Great way to listen for extra content. Bye-bye.